Welcome to the Almost 30 podcast. I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Krista, and we're your hosts, guides, and friends on this path. Almost 30 is not about your age. It's about the feeling. All of us are almost something, seeking community and resources to support the rumblings of transformation within us.
Our conversations are deep dives, shepherded by our insatiable curiosity and desire for connection, enduring inspiration, and a sense of levity that we can all benefit from.
We're looking to find the magic in the human experience.
Buckle up, baby. Your evolution is waiting.
Hello, hello. I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to Almost 30.
Hi, everybody. It's Lindsay and Krista. We here. We still at it.
And we in black. We back. We in black.
We in black. That's the winter vibe.
It's the winter vibe. It's the New York vibe. It was the London vibe. Mm-hmm.
It's sleek. It's fashionable. It's us.
I know. And honestly, in LA, people don't really wear black a lot, I think. Maybe in the city parts, but in the west side, people are always like neutrals.
Totally.
Sand.
Boho.
Mm-hmm. My dad said that recently. Like, he was like, I'm so glad you're out of your gypsy phase. I literally, my whole perspective on my life changed. I was like, whoa, my dad had an opinion of me that was like negative. You know, he had like a judgment about me that I never knew about.
Totally.
And to think that like your parents could have opinions of you that aren't favorable was mind-blowing to me.
Oh, yeah. I feel like my parents, my sister went through like a punky phase, but it's like saying like, oh, so yeah, remember when you were in that like grungy punky phase, and they probably thought it was like the coolest era of their life.
I was like, I think my gypsy phase was going to Coachella one year.
Yeah, don't.
Honestly.
And you had like a fringe jacket.
I had a fringe dress on probably. Exactly. Like fringe, like who knows? But I was like, this is so fast. I just was like fascinated by that.
I love.
Because I had no idea what he was talking about. And I was just like, whoa, you had a period in time where you're like, oh, I'm worried about my gypsy daughter. I'm like, maybe I was traveling a lot. I don't even really know.
I think about a lot of things that like I did either fashion wise or like with makeup or whatever. And like my parents rarely said anything, but the worry they must have had. And I'm thinking about myself. I'm like, what am I going to be worried about? You know what I mean? I see kids in my neighborhood. It's like a very like family oriented neighborhood. But these teenagers walking around with their venti iced coffees.
Oh, my God.
And their big ass sweatpants
and their
crop tops. Mm-hmm. Their vapes. And I'm like, I would be so fucking worried.
I know. When I was in London, everyone wears baggy jeans in London. And there was tons of girls had Ed Hardy jeans on. The really? Baggiest Ed Hardy jeans I'd ever really? Seen in my life. It was wild. I was like, whoa, I am.
We should bring back JNCOs.
JNCOs were like people wearing JNCOs.
No way.
I swear. It's so 90s. It's crazy.
Wow.
I know. I think, okay, the thing about the gypsy thing too that blows my mind is of all the phases that I've had, you were glad I'm out of that one. I'm like, I've had some crazy phases.
Like what?
Slutty.
Yeah.
Emo.
I had a phase where like I had no tits, but like I would wear like, you know, those bras from Victoria's Secret that
were
like
advertised to 12-year-olds and 13-year-olds.
Yes,
and
we would
do the X. Remember the string that would pull your boobs together to make it was the extreme push-up. Psychotic, your children.
And then like the foam was like 3 inches thick. Yes. And like if
remember
anyone.
Remember water bras?
Oh my God, dude. Wait, did I? Yeah, I definitely
there were bras
had a
that had
bra.
Literally water inserts.
Yes.
So they felt like real tits.
Yeah. So if anyone's going to second base on you, like it would be such a surprise.
Such a surprise. If you take that thing off, you don't even know what's going on.
I remember going to the movies with this dude and like knowing that we were going to make out. Chris is covering your face. And I had like the strapless cup bra. It was so hard. Like nothing moved. Totally. It was just so.
It's crazy because it slides to the left
up.
And your boobs are all right here.
Yeah.
And it's like wherever it's sliding, your boobs are. Yeah, that's why the water bra was kind of genius. Or there was like gel ones.
You know what I think is genius? Kim Kardashian's new nipple bra. Controversial opinion.
Very controversial opinion.
I don't think it's genius because I'm like, yeah, everyone should have their like nipples out and guys should gawk at them. No, it's like she's going to make $1 billion from that bra.
I'm so intrigued by this opinion because I think that it's also perpetuating the idea and now we're going to have a specific nipple that's attractive.
Of course. Literally, me saying that I think this is genius has no bearing on like what I think about it. It's more like she's going to make $1 billion.
Yeah, totally.
So for that reason,
but
I think
that's
it's
like
genius.
Horrifying because it's like women have
Of course.
Various, of course, as we know, different nipple sizes and shapes. And now we're like blow up dolls where we're like putting a specific nipple on.
Specific cold nipple.
Yes. Like that's like this big with like a tiny, you know what I mean? Also, like men are visual creatures. Like I kind of feel bad for them if all of us are busting in like sex robots with our freaking nipple things on. Then we're like, look up here, like me for my personality. And we're wearing fake nipple bras. Like, what is this world?
Dude, it's crazy.
That is like mind blowing to me. Uh-huh. I mean, I can't. Yeah.
Someone did a parody on it and like the nipple was up here.
Oh, I can't
wait.
And
the other one was like down here.
There's this really good Instagram. I should find him. It's like Bo something. He's this dude. And he does these Kardashian like recaps.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where he's like, here's the thing. Like, and he just like acts like the, he does these, like, I need to find it and I'll share it.
Who's
on my Instagram.
Who's the girl that has the exact voices?
Yeah, she does the Kourtney Kardashian voice on TikTok too.
Oh, she's so good.
It's so, I mean, their like spoofs are so good, but usually they play along with it, which is so nice.
Uh-huh, they love.
So today on the podcast, we have Chani Nicholas. She is the creator of the Chani app. She's an astrologer. She is a dope, amazing, fun, magnetic person. We've had her on the show before. She came on probably 2 or 3 years ago when her book You Were Born for This came out.
Mm-hmm.
You Were Born for This is incredible. Yeah. It's actually a really, really good guide for anyone that wants to understand astrology from like a basic level, from like a foundational level. I really love her writing. I feel like it's something I reference at my bedside. So You Were Born for This is such a great astrology book. And then her app is just incredible. She's such a great astrologer. And in this episode, we did a lot of just like chatting as entrepreneurs, as businesswomen in the space. We talked a lot about how she built her business. We talked a lot about her path. I think people look at her today and be like, you have such a successful app. You have such a successful business. And she does. But she was someone that was actually very lost in her words for a long time. So to see her really own her power and her purpose now is just incredible. Mm. And it's really nice to just walk through people's career path when they didn't really know the answer and they didn't really know where they were going.
Yes. Well, I find too, like the more that I like kind of immerse myself in those types of stories still, even as someone now, because like we're going to have like these different iterations of us. Life is long. And so to like hear those stories like a Chani where it's like, I was absolutely lost. And she might go through a period of time again where she's like maybe a little lost. And it's like hearing that
is huge.
It's very supportive.
And we talked about her business because she's someone that has really equitable, inspirational business practices with her team. Like no one makes less than $85,000 a year. She gives days off when people are on their cycle. She's just super equitable, like with everything. She's really doing something that's so incredible and powerful. And she's a pioneer for women CEOs and founders. And so we talked a lot about her business practices, which is incredible. And then we talked a little bit about 2024 astrology, which is super interesting. Some dates to look out for, some things to be mindful of. Had to get a little bit of astrology in there. But I think if you're a fan of Chani, you're going to hear her in a different way than ever before. And I just had such a fun time talking. We were laughing.
Her astrology voice is so fun.
Like she's when she so writes. Beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
She's stunning. She just looks so unique and beautiful. I'm like, you have such a cool look.
Completely.
Which is what matters.
I know. Okay. Nipple bras.
Nipple bras and this. So if you want to learn more about Chani, you can follow her on Instagram at Chani Nicholas. You can find her app anywhere you can find apps. The Android version is out now. And if you want to listen to our first episode, search Chani Almost 30. It's a really good one. You can also search Astrology Almost 30. We have tons of other astrology episodes. We also do astrology workshops in our membership all the time. Our membership is where we connect with our community monthly through workshops, through one-on-ones, through additional resources and content. So go to almost30.com to find information about our membership, information about our partners, tons of discount codes, about our courses and programs, and then Almost 30 Podcast on TikTok and Instagram. We'll find you there. Morning Microdose is our second show, our daily dose of Almost 30.
We love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. If you love this episode or any other episode, send it to a friend. Start a conversation. That's how we grow still. All right. Enjoy this one. We'll see you on the other side.
We love you.
Bye.
I am juggling quite a bit lately. I have a new baby, 6 months in, and we are finishing our book and running a business and a marriage and a house. And it's just a lot, but everything is all good and just my dream, but it's a lot. But I have found that if my health routine is on point, then everything runs smoothly. And one huge piece of that routine is my supplementation. And Symbiotica has just always been a constant in my routine. If you haven't heard of Symbiotica, they are a health and wellness company that does everything with intention. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Like, I know them. Shervin has been on the podcast many times. I just have seen how passionate, how incredibly intelligent, how dedicated he is to creating products that are clean, plant-based, without toxic or harmful chemicals, which we need more of that in the world. So let me just run you through what I'm taking. I take the vitamin D3 K2. It's the liposomal form. I just squirt 12 little pumps in my mouth every single morning. I also take their B12. I'm also obsessed with the liposomal vitamin C. I have these little packets. Whether it's winter or whatever season, it's obviously great for immunity, but it also is amazing because it has biotin, one of nature's most beautifying ingredients. So I've seen an improvement in my skin, hair, and nail growth as well. I do have mom brain, but I'm doing my best to just support my brain health in any way. So for brain health, focus, and memory, I really love taking their liposomal magnesium L-threonate. It's an innovative form of magnesium that is able to cross the blood-brain barrier. It supports brain health, mood, immune system function, and overall well-being. It's incredible and tastes amazing. It's like this yummy vanilla cream flavor. That's the thing with Symbiotica products. They taste unbelievable. So it really makes taking all of these supplements so easy, so yummy, and I actually look forward to it. So if you want to give Symbiotica a try, there is no better time. Right now is the time. Symbiotica.com, Cymbiotika. Use our code ALMOST30, 20% off site-wide. So major. And then when you bundle and subscribe, which I highly recommend because you never want to run out of anything, you're going to get an extra discount. So just do it up. Symbiotica.com and use the code ALMOST30 for 20% off site-wide.
Okay, small actions are pretty major. I was walking down the street the other day in the morning. I was on my way to the gym and I wasn't on my phone and was consciously doing so. I was head up looking around, just kind of noticing things about my neighborhood and the people. And I smiled at a few people that walked by. And surprisingly, this is not a common occurrence, but they smiled back. And I know that me smiling at them somehow impacted their moment in the day, and it impacted me to get a smile back. And I don't know, I was just like, wow, these like small little things that we can do can have some pretty big benefits. And it just reminds me how small things we can do for our health make a huge whole body difference. One of those things I do is Seeds DSO1 Daily Symbiotic. It has just made such a difference in my gut, skin, and I know it has improved my heart health. It is just two little capsules that make a huge, huge impact on your health. Just two capsules a day. I've been taking Seeds DSO1 Daily Symbiotic for about 4 years now, almost. Oh my God, it's been a long time, maybe 3 years. And I have never been more regular, which I love. It makes me feel really good. My skin has been clear, which is so nice. And I have experienced a huge reduction in bloating. So I know it works because there have been a couple weeks here and there where I forget to bring Seed on vacation with me or when I'm traveling. And y'all, all of those symptoms come back. It's kind of wild. So I've just noticed such a difference. And it's easy to fit into my daily routine. I have it laid out every single morning. I take it on an empty stomach first thing in the morning. And it just sets off a chain reaction of really good habits throughout the day. So if you're not taking care of your gut, you must. Okay. This is the central hub for various pathways through the body, and a healthy gut microbiome means benefits for digestion, skin health, heart health, your immune system, and so much more. Seed is different because they have a patented capsule in capsule design,
which means the fragile bacteria can survive the journey all the way in your GI tract from shipping to your door where it works best in your body. So it's a very unique thing that Seed has. And DS01 was developed in collaboration with Seed Scientific Board and based on their foundational work in probiotics and the microbiome. They are all about the science. So if you want to read more about the science, please go to their website. And I just love that it comes to my door every single month. My refill is there, so I never have to worry about it. So trust your gut with Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com/almost30 and use code 25ALMOST to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/almost with the code 25ALMOST.
So we were talking about motherhood, single moms.
Yeah.
The way in America of having a child, and I was mentioning that you're known in the space as someone that's just so mindful and thoughtful about how you care for your employees, and just like the way in which you take care of people is like, not to be corny, but goals. What are some of the things that you guys do?
Well, I think it should be bare minimum. I think it should be the floor. Dude. I think that what we're doing is revolutionary, and that's really fucking sad.
Yeah.
Because we're just trying to make it so that the people that work in our company have enough money to pay their rent, take care of themselves, take care of their families, enjoy their life, and feel safe. And that in America is unheard of. I have like tech bros that like try to drag me on Twitter being like, there's no way you can be profitable and have this kind of benefit system. Like our floor is 80K. So nobody in the company makes less than 80K. We have 7 weeks of office closures, plus unlimited vacation and unlimited sick days. So 7 weeks of the year, no one is working. So no one's emailing you. We have a month off at the end of the year, the last 2 weeks of December, the first 2 weeks of Jan. We just want everyone to reset and then we come back. So we really believe in working in work cycles. Mm-hmm. Like we go hard and then we rest. And we do a lot in the company and a lot is expected of everybody. Yeah. And it's up to everybody to co-create the kind of workspace that we want. But we also want to, you know, go equally as deep with the ways in which we're trying to take care of people or create a ecosystem of care. Because that's really what it's about. It's like we can, Sonia and I, Sonia is the CEO, I'm the president, she's my wife, we're business partners. We can put these systems in place, and then hopefully that starts to engender a culture where we're taking care of each other so that if people feel cared for by the corporation or the company or the whatever they're working at, then they show up better. It's like, it's economically nonsensical to underpay your people. Right. It doesn't work. People quit. They leave. They don't want to be part of it. Why not create a company, an ecosystem, a world within which we're experimenting with how things could actually be and work? And so we feel like we've been given this gift. We've created this thing where it's up to us where the rules are. So we want to be like, okay, well, how does a queer feminist lens work with gender-based violence? We know that gender-based violence is wildly prevalent. 1 in 3 women, 1 in 2 trans folks will experience gender-based violence. That is a communal problem, a structural problem, an economic problem, all those things. So we also have a stipend that if you experience gender-based violence, we have an emergency cash, you know, assistance for you. You also can take off whatever time. If you have a uterus and you need time off when you have your period, like you just have unlimited menstrual leave. There's just some very like obvious facts that when you look at the conditions of what we're living in that can be addressed in a company, and it only makes it better. It does not impede our ability to make money. And that's what the line is always like, you can't treat people well, you can't, you know, treat people like human beings and still make a profit. And it's gross.
Yeah, it's disgusting. It's so wild when you really think about it, like all the ways in which we're kind of put to fit in this box, not seen as human, not seen as like valuable for
who we actually are. And people are so much more creative, so much more willing to like put in the work. And it's not like, again, like we're doing this for the people.
Yeah.
But you get the benefit of having people that are deeply loyal to you and deeply in reverence of you. And they're able to
show get the benefit of being in relationship.
Yes.
Right. So to try to extract whatever I can from you is dehumanizing you, but it's also dehumanizing me.
Yeah.
And then I am lonely and isolated, and maybe I have money or something material, but like I don't have a life. Like that's to me, that's not living. I don't want to live like that. I want to feel like I'm part of something. And the only way I can be part of something is to like literally be creating it with the people that are my team.
Yeah.
They're my team. They're not like below me. Yes. Like we're like everyone is so important.
Yeah.
And every single thing that we do.
What was your journey like before? Were you ever in a situation, maybe even Sonia, were you guys ever in situations where you were like, yo, this is horrible? Did you have the situation where you felt like you had to course correct and create the environment that you wish you would have had?
I mean, me personally, I've always been, I'm a really bad employee.
Yeah. I was like, what are we doing here?
Hopefully I'm learning to be like a half decent boss, but like, you don't want to hire me.
100%. You're like, this bitch is going to start a revolution. Everyone's going to walk out.
So, you know, I did a lot of stuff. I did a lot of like community work. I did a lot of bartending and waitressing and teaching yoga. And a lot of it was like working for yourself. So you're like making your own business. So yes. And just like, you know, I moved from here from Canada. So when I moved to America, half my family's from New York. But when I actually lived here full time, I was like, oh, man, if you fall through the cracks here, you are fucked in a way that like Canada is far from perfect, far, far, far from it. But wow, like America does not care about you. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like living in that too. It's like you, there is untold, unlimited potential here, and there's untold, unlimited violence here. And so, we, you know, like to be able to do something here is great and exciting, but also I bring a lot of my Canadian, like so more socialist values. And Sonia's from the UK. And so she brings that too. And she's also an activist. She's been working in the gender-based violence space since she was 16 years old. So a lot of our policies are developed through her work and her team at Free From. So it's from a place of activism. It's resourcing the activism that that community has also done forever, because we also have a partnership with them. Mm-hmm. So we give 5% of revenue, not of profits, but of revenue to cash grants to survivors of gender-based violence. Because we know that a little bit of cash can make a huge difference in a system like this where there's nowhere else to get it and nowhere to get it. And then we also work with the entrepreneurs that are also survivors, and we create products with them. So we have like a line of candles, and
I was seeing your product at the shop.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, and that's sick.
We don't make any money from that.
Stop.
None. Zero, zero. And so our designer designs them. Our astrologers work with their candle makers and other entrepreneurs, and we have this like deep partnership. And that's also part of how we create community. And so the people that work at our company get the benefits. And then they're also part of this really revolutionary work that addresses gender-based violence, which is so prevalent. And then hopefully the work that we do just on the app is also doing that. So we didn't want to create a company that was externally saying wellness and like take care of yourself without internally doing it, because that's bullshit.
And it exists.
It exists.
And I'm curious what you think about this, because I think in 2020, 2021, it's like that was exposed for a lot of people, was like the companies that were saying that they were doing stuff but weren't. But also there was like such a infusion of energy into the social justice space. What has it felt like for you, and your wife even, or your team, like people that have been activists for a long time? Mm. What has it felt like to see that trajectory of like the infusion of energy, but now it's kind of like, do you feel like it's dwindling? Like, do you feel like people are kind of like, oh no, we're kind of back to normal?
I mean, certainly the pressure's
off. Yeah.
And when the pressure's off, you know, mm-hmm. the cats will play. I don't know what.
You know, when the pressure's off, cats will be out and partying. Dogs will be dogging. Pressure's off. We're all drunk.
But, you know, capitalism will capitalist.
Exactly.
And that's just what it's going to do until you put pressure on it again. You're all of your choices. Mm-hmm. So every corporation is all of its choices. Every company is all of its choices. Every individual, we are all of our choices. And, you know, we live within really deeply inequitable systems. So that's also a relative statement. Within those systems, we have choices, but we still have choices.
Yeah.
And so, especially companies with a lot of money and a lot of power.
I know.
They'll drop the ball super quick. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. They'll use people.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which was, like, I think the hardest part, to see things get co-opted and used and, you know, just, yeah. I guess you want to hope, but it's like.
I don't look to them for
hope. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Even looking to people for hope, like you being a female founder, obviously working in this company that you've created this beautiful environment of, like, equity, of creativity, of expression, of people being able to be human. For anyone that's listening that has a business, a female founder, what would you suggest for them to think about when they're thinking about creating a culture that's more sustainable and human?
My wife is so excellent at leading with abundance always. She's always saying, you're never going to make a mistake by saying thank you, giving people more money, giving bonuses, da-da-da-da-da. And of course, there's the economics of it all. But I would say, within your capacity, lead with generosity. It will make you feel good, and it will instill a trust, and it'll start to create relationship. And it doesn't have to be economic, you know, abundance when you don't have it. But to be abundant in your ability to create relationships, I think, is really important. And it's hard, because as a founder, you are someone who's probably worked day and night for years on your own.
The grind is real.
Just real. And then you start to hire people, God is willing. And then you're like, oh my God, will they do what I need them to do with my child, my baby?
Literally, I'll be like to my friends, I'm like, why don't they care as much as me? They're like, they're never will. I'm like, that's not true.
Yeah. Like, I will say that you know, there are people that will care as much as you out there. And it does, but it takes time and effort. And I think that we are so unwilling and so trained to just swipe.
Yeah.
That we don't understand the necessary discomfort of growth. And there's this fine line between, like, this is an unjust, inequitable situation. Yeah, yeah. And this is something that's hard, but it's necessary. And that takes time and maturity and whatever to distinguish. But I feel like in the workspaces, it's like, okay, y'all, we've got to, like, be able to really think about this. Like, sometimes you got to push, and sometimes you got to be uncomfortable, and sometimes you got to sweat it out. And then sometimes it's not worth it. But I just don't feel like in America in this moment and after the pandemic, that there's, like, a rebalancing of that the necessary stress or necessary growth, it's like working out. You're not going to get endorphins if you don't stress your muscles.
You're like, your guns are not going to be like my guns. you're like, it's like working out. In case you didn't see.
You know, it doesn't just fucking happen overnight.
Yes.
So what is the necessary stress? Yes.
I think we optimize so much for pleasure in our society and culture. And you know, I've even thought about that a lot, where there's been times in my life where I've been going through something and I've been like, yo, I'm done learning through pain. I'm done. Like, I'm like, God, I'm ready to learn through pleasure. But it's like, I have a year like this year and I'm just like, oh my God, the suffering has taught me so much.
Yeah.
Like, suffering has given me empathy, compassion, depth.
Yeah.
Like, a different texture. Like, it's shown me who I am.
Yeah. It's so important to know how to suffer.
Say more.
Like, how to suffer is not to suffer in vain. It's not to be morose. It's not to hang on to the past. It is to be with the truth that we lose things. We love, we lose, we break, we heal. And you can't be a full human and experience true pleasure and love and connection without experiencing the opposite. It's just the law. And so, yes, I want people to experience pleasure. My God, but you won't get it if you're running from your suffering. There are things that we have to suffer with. They're inescapable. It's just part of the human trajectory. And we miss all of the texture and the nuance. And again, we miss out on truly appreciating the pleasure when we don't do that thing, when we refuse it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we have like self-help, self-talked each other out of ever suffering, or thinking we should. We still suffer, thinking we should.
Totally. Yeah, that's what I always think about within like the personal development space, spirituality type space. It's like that. I remember for a while, I was like I got divorced this year, and I was in the year before just turning myself inside out, just like going to every nook and cranny, like, what is this? How is this showing me? How is this? What is about this is for me? What about this would I recreate if I didn't learn the lessons I need to learn? And I remember being like so scared to be unaligned, because I was like, okay, now I'm unaligned and I'm going to call more unalignment in. And now I'm like, I'm already in this phase where I'm feeling this and I'm like going through this process. And then I'm scared of it because I'm like, it's going to make it worse. I'm attracting bad things to me. And I'm like, it was like this like added layer of like pain that didn't allow me to just settle into like the discomfort, because now I became scared that I was going to attract more of it.
Yeah, it's like the weird like co-opting of spiritual principles to make it all love and light. And it just feels like another system of supremacy to me, because it's like only good things should be had and felt and thought about and experienced. And that is not life. It just, we are so one-dimensional if that's the only thing we're fixated on. And I find times in my life where I've been that person. I've been so fixated on wanting to feel like a kind of like energetic high.
Totally.
That I am running from everything, and I make the most amount of mistakes, and I create the most damage, the most eventual suffering for myself.
Because it's like running from the truth of what is. So in that experience, when you've done that, do you feel like, what are some of the mistakes that you would now look back and be like, oh, that was because of that? Were there moments in time where you're like, I did something for the business or relationship or just in life where you're like, yeah, that was because I was running from my suffering. I started to drink, or I started to like, you know, do these things.
Yeah. I mean, my God, every relationship I had.
Yeah.
Many of the relationships, many of the jobs. I mean, so much of it. But then, you know, there's also these ways in which that section of my life, I was doing the best I could.
Yeah.
And that was part of my coping strategy. Was I had to move into the escape of it all. And, you know, I come from an entire like town and kind of like time of massive addiction and just like getting really high and really drunk and partying. Like, I am born in the 70s and I am a child of those people. And so I am like truly Gen X, where no one cared what we were doing. Like, we were unparented. So I just went out in the world and I was like,
come home when it's dark.
Yeah.
You're like, okay.
Yeah. And also, like, I don't know what taking care of myself is.
Yeah.
I don't know how to feed myself. I don't know how to put myself to bed. I don't know any of those things. I didn't grow up with them. But none of those things were in place. So, you know, I did the best I could. I made every mistake you could think of. I have, you know, a million things that I could regret if I wanted to. I mean, I've done it all. I make profound mistakes. I make humiliating mistakes. I make just like, oh my.
Juicy.
God. Yeah.
Juicy.
Yeah,
humiliating.
Yeah, yeah. I've done it all.
Don't you love them though? Like, now I'm like, I was thinking about that today. I was like, I have like that Catholic part of me that's like, I'm a bad person. Like, I have that like original sin. So I'm working with it. And I'm like, and I was like, I've been arrested. I've gone, you know, I've done all these things. And I was like, I'm still a good person. But it's just all the mistakes. I'm like, they now make me laugh.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, wow, what an interesting chapter in my book.
Yeah.
Like, it makes you cooler almost, you know, because I'm like, oh, wow, that was like a time, you know, had whatever happened, did whatever happened. And when you come to a place of self-love, you like kind of get it and you're like, oh, girl, like,
yeah,
it's all good.
Yeah. There's so many conversations I wish I could go back and have with myself.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. You know? Just like, I just needed a little pep talk.
Mm.
Really, I just needed a little bit. I would have said, take the course. Do the training. It doesn't have to be perfect. You don't have to want to be this thing in the end, but everything that you're interested in, everything that you're like drawn to, have a little of it. Take the thing. Study with that teacher. It doesn't have to be the end result. And I see a lot of people in their 20s and even 30s get so hung up on what they have to get as the outcome. And I was the same. And let me tell you, like, it will just slow you down. Because every single thing that I studied, every single job that I had prepared me for this one. Let me tell you, bartending taught me.
How's a server not a bartender?
Yeah, serving, bartending yes. taught me how to do weekly readings.
Wow.
You know, it's just like it is a machine. I go yep. in, I do my job, I let it roll, I yep. do it, I know what the shift is, and I have to do it again the next week.
Yep.
And it's never ending. Like the customer will always need another drink. They'll need another reading.
And if you think about it too much, you're like.
Yeah. But you just let that yep. other thing go.
Yep.
And you just do your work.
Just flow.
Yeah. Do it. You show up when you get out. Count your money.
What would you say to yourself? Because I think a lot about this. I'm so grateful for the Saturn return period.
Oh.
The almost 30 period when yeah. a lot of people are waking up where they're like, yeah. oh my God, wait, I don't want to be a lawyer. I don't want to
yeah.
do
you know? Saturn is like, you will suffer so much more if you don't realize that you're up against a wall, a rock, and a hard mm-hmm. place. There's nowhere to go.
Yo, say more.
Reality check. It is. And you're lucky if it happens.
Totally.
You are blessed if it happens. The last thing you want is to be on the wrong track for 1 second longer than you need to be. So if your Saturn return comes, which is something that happens between the age, usually like 27, 28 to 30, that if that corner of your life is just filled with hard stops, reality checks, learning to say no, boundaries, and having to bet on yourself, then you're lucky.
I love the betting on yourself. I haven't thought about that.
Yeah.
I think this is the point I wanted to say about the career. When you were talking mm-hmm. about how you wish you would have taken the course and stuff, there's this concept called, like, I forget who the person is, but it's mm. thinking about your career instead of a career path as like a career portfolio.
Mm.
And I love that yeah. concept where you're like, this is my art. This is yeah. my human art. Like
yeah.
I did this job as a bartender, or me, I was like a consultant. And then I was in this job, and then I worked at a nursing home. And you just like, yeah. you're like, wow.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily need to be like, I was here, and then I was director, and then I was VP.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not this. It's like yeah. this, 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 this.
Yeah.
And how could all of these skills and things that you learn just help and culminate to apply to the next thing
yeah.
that you eventually do?
Yeah.
But for you now, like, you're such a baller, and like, you are crushing. So there's a part of me sometimes that's like, it's easy to be like, it all makes sense. Like, did you feel lost actually during it? Like when you were not on your path, were you like,
oh my
Yo.
God, I was existentially
lost. Dramatic unwell. I was like, dude, I literally was like crying in the 13th floor of my corporate job. I was like, what am I doing here? They're like, please just schedule that meeting we need. And I'm like, but what's the point? I'm like, what's the purpose of this? Like, so dramatic.
Dramatic unwell.
Unwell.
Yeah. Forever. Mm-hmm. For a lot longer than you. My life didn't start to come together until I was like 38.
Was that in your chart?
I mean, I have a really harsh Saturn situation. And so if you do, there's a Vedic, which is Indian astrology kind of principle that says, things will start to shift when you're 36. And it really did. 36 was a very helpful time. By the time I got to 38, it was like everything just fell into place. And so I will say, like, my whole life I had this pressure on myself because I felt so ambitious and yeah. so driven mm-hmm. and I had no idea where I was supposed to go with it all. So it was like an engine revving itself up and like overheating and melting down and dramatic unwell. It took so long to get on the track. But then you look back and you're like, oh, well, it all adds up. But I had so much pressure on myself. I was like, this all has to add up to a perfect ending. And then I'm like, no, it doesn't. But it also kind of has. So also my story is something that is in the end, at this point, at the end of the dramatic unwell, quite magical. But let me tell you, it's like 38 years of feeling lost and unloved and without a place in the world. And like my potential was being wasted. My life was flashing before my eyes and I was never going to find it. I just felt like such a loser, to be honest. I felt like everybody else has figured out how to life. And I
don't
know.
I can't see you being like that. But yeah, that feeling, and I just, it's like this cellular soul feeling where I'm like, fucking here for this.
Yeah.
And it's not like I'm here for a reason and I'm Tony Robbins and I'm like, and I'm like, yeah, but it's like whatever the fuck this needs to do, like I have to do. It's so beautiful. I'm so grateful for it. But
that's the part that saves you.
Saves me, but it's also made me insane.
Yeah. But it gets you out of the situations that aren't right for you.
Yes.
Because it's driven. That's the part of you that knows, go.
Yes.
Go this way. Yes. Do that thing that you're terrified to do. And that's the part that I'm always so grateful for. That's the part that, like, I look around and I'm like, how do I have a company of 36 people?
That's so sick.
That's growing. Mm-hmm. How did we figure out how to make an app, launch an app? No VC funding, not a dime from anybody. We built the business from nothing. And the business, the people, the community we worked with, built it with us. And then we could offer this thing back, and then we could build a community in the company, and then we could build with Free From and build community that way. And it is astounding to me. And it's also, it's grown me in a way that I don't think anything else, even motherhood, like parent, becoming a parent is like amazing, but becoming the leader of a company, becoming, that is like,
you're exposed.
That is a game.
Every nook and cranny is like,
all of it.
Dude, I think too, maybe I just feel like this is my whole life, but it's like the expectation I have for myself with my team too. It's like, I can't, you know what I mean? If I show up and I'm like not like I have to be like, hey guys.
Yeah.
But if I show up and I feel like a little bit like I could have done that better.
Yeah. It haunts.
Haunts you. Oh, it's.
I can recall 17 times just off the top of my head.
The other day I had a call and then I went to a workout. The whole workout, I'm just like, I should have said off. The whole, and then for the rest of the day, I'm like, dude, you gotta chill. Like, you because have to be okay.
Yeah. And then we can talk all day about the expectation of.
Oh, yeah. That's the whole thing.
Female leaders.
What do you mean? But that's the whole thing. It's exact. Because that part of me that's like, oh, I have to be kind and clear and nice. And I think for.
Nice.
And I think for you, and maybe a little bit more because mine's like personal development, spiritual. Yours is spirit. You know what I mean? But I think there's that expectation too where it's like, I have to be respecting boundaries and I have to be like coaching and I have to be like, not like I respect boundaries, but you have to also have that element of like, I'm this perfect teacher person that's like.
It's a setup.
Yeah, it's a setup. Where like a man's like, oh, I'm good at my job.
A man is like, I showed up today. Where's my coffee?
Literally. It's like, what do you got for me?
And they're like, oh, thanks for the promotion.
Yes, exactly. And I'm like, okay, so it's rough. It's really shown me a lot about myself.
Yeah. I've been thinking a lot about the practice of speaking kindly to yourself.
Cute.
It's a very cute theory. There's some cute podcasts about it.
Yes. So this thing called like being nice to yourself.
And it's super basic.
The basic things are the best. Can we be real?
Yeah, can we?
Continue.
But just being like in that moment where you're like, I could have shown up with more graciousness and maybe I could have shown up with more generosity. And I didn't because I am a whole person. And if I'm going to love myself, I got to love the aspects of myself that are not something that are going to make me proud too. Like I get to be whole. And that is something that is so hard to really feel and live from that like, I get to be whole. I get to do better. I get to start over. I get to forgive myself. But I'm not going to ever cut out those parts of myself. Like they're going to exist with me. They're going to be there. And that's okay. That is everyone. Social media, we always say it's done so many great things and it's also so toxic. And I just feel like this whole other layer of watching people basically on TikTok talk about everybody else, you're just like,
I know.
I mean, there's also like things about it where you're like, oh yeah, this person's really giant and famous. And so what they do impacts culture. And so we can critique culture. And then there are ways in which we just start critiquing the person, and that no one is able to be a human anywhere because we live inside of these massive systems of inequity. And so it just keeps showing up on every level of our interaction where it's like there's a lot, there's so much tear down. And so also as a leader, you're like, okay, what am I going to get torn down for? When's my time going to come? When are they going to? And it's going to, I mean, it'll come, like, I whatever. People are disappointed in me all the time. And it is so important for you to be disappointed in me if you don't know me. If we've not met and we don't have a relationship, I hope to God I disappoint you because we don't know each other and we project all of these things onto each other. And it is so fucking unfair that I expect anything from you but what you give me, honestly, in any relationship, but especially if I don't know you.
Mm-hmm. And you're doing all this stuff for free. And it's like, yeah, with the social media thing, I actually had to catch myself on that recently where I was like, mine's not TikTok as much, but I like YouTube stuff. And I was just like kind of watching something and I'm like, what's the energy that you're trying to bring into my life where these people are talking about culture things?
Right.
And I'm like, what is that telling my subconscious in my mind when I'm watching people talk about other people all the time? It's just instilling this like fear in me and sort of creating this culture within my mind where I'm like, probably using to keep myself small because I'm like, then they're going to talk about me.
Right.
They're going to do a video about me. They're going to say this thing. And I'm like, oh, that's an interesting way.
They are.
Totally.
And then we're all doing it to each other.
I know.
And then where are we?
We're all like big brothering each other pretty much.
It's a lot of very interesting dynamics. It will shift. Like it will change, I think. I know it's a deep part of human nature because we are scared. And we feel like if we're talking and we're agreeing about something we see over there, then you're safe.
Totally.
Right. And so it's about a safety thing and it is about power and it is about all of these things. And I'm not saying we shouldn't talk about things that are really, really, really abuses of power because that is what it is. And it gets into these very strange places, I think. We're just like studying everybody's life and all of their choices. Well, and we don't know them.
Now we know the language. Yeah. We're like, well, this is narcissistic, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, then we apply all the labels and language that people have or people understand or maybe don't understand. And then they kind of apply and psychoanalyze everybody and just put everyone in boxes. But yeah, for you being a public figure, like I think you do such a good job of being someone that you feel boundaried to me in a really nice way. It's nice.
I'm so boundary.
Yeah, you're boundary as fuck. It's amazing. It's baller. Baller boundary bitch. I love hanging out with people with boundaries because I'm like, no boundaries. So I'm like, you tell me where to go. I literally am like, I'll fill in the gaps. Honestly. It's like actually liberating for me. I'm like, now I know where to go. Have you always had boundaries? I guess, like, what's been your process with that?
You know, because I grew up with so much partying, we can just say, nobody had any boundaries.
All the real G's partied.
Yeah, they were so intoxicated that I, just by the sheer dynamic of what has to happen energetically in the universe, I had to become the opposite. Like, you all have no boundaries, no sense, no judgment. You're literally, you know, not in your right mind. You're literally unconscious right now.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go over here because I have to. I had to balance it out.
Yeah.
I didn't have the space or the freedom to not be. So I'm excessively judgmental and boundaried and all the other things. I have to work against it.
I know that I have, what is it, 4 planets in Capricorn?
You do.
Yeah. Like I have a friend who's just like an angel darling. And sometimes I'll say stuff and I can tell she's like pleased, but also horrified at the same time. And I'm like, damn.
I have friends like that. They never say anything bad about any. I'm always like, wow,
dude,
what? How do you?
I showed her amazing. A clip. I was like, isn't this hilarious? She was like horrified.
Yeah. So now we're like being the people that we're just talking
That's
about.
True.
You know,
That's
so it's
true.
It's totally in me.
Yeah.
It's part of me.
Where in your chart do you have that judgmental aspect?
The Saturn
is in.
Well, the Saturn really messes with my sun. It really, I have a very hard, we call aspect between Saturn and my sun. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm a late bloomer, we could say. not why, but it's reflected in my chart.
Yeah.
And it's harsh and judgmental and boundaried and also works really hard and, you know, is like, this is what I want. And this is how I need to go out and get it.
Isn't it so nice, though? Like, especially for you and your work, like if you were 22 and you had this going, you
oh
would,
my God.
I mean, do you even, can you even imagine?
Lit everything on fire.
Lit everything on fire. I mean, just whole like team. I mean, it's like, you would have never been able to have the sustainability and like confidence and groundedness of building what you've built.
Not at all. And the whole thing is to trust, right? It's like, if it happens for you at 38 or 28 or 52, I don't know, like you just have to get to a point where you're trusting in your ability to know what the next thing to do is, which is a very like AA 12-step principle, like do the next right thing. It's a really good one. Simple, basic.
AA has actually got, all the principles are dope.
They're amazing.
They're amazing.
People are weird and do stuff and whatever.
There's an AA center right there. So it's like funky.
I've been in meetings there.
No way, that's sick. They're literally like cigarettes for days.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I love it. The,
I'm like,
the
y'all
dirtier
are partying
the meeting,
after this.
Yeah, yeah, like, the better. The better. Like, give me the worst story.
100%.
I'm like, it's good therapy. Some meetings are closed.
Anything, but people, I cry so easily.
Yeah.
What would you think? What do you think my big three are?
You know, I was just thinking, I was like, what
just
Pisces
kind of noodling
do you have? You have Venus and Pisces? Or
my son is Pisces.
Your son? You're such a Pisces.
Why?
Because you're so sparkly and you're so, you move in to fill the gaps. It's literally Pisces is just moving water. It's the fish.
Yes.
So they're just squishy and they do all the things. They fill in. That's what I always say. You pour water on the ground and it just goes everywhere. So you naturally go, thank God for your Capricorn. That's your ability to focus and get to the top and do your things. But your Pisces just goes everywhere.
I know. It's
psychically,
so
emotionally, energetically.
My Pisces is my North Node, I think, and that's what I'm healing, is that ability for me to feel like I enjoy the Pisces element of me.
Yeah.
Because there was so much of my life where I was like, I don't want to feel this much. I don't want to be this intuitive. I don't want to be this psychic. And I'm actually really working on that right now, is kind of reclaiming that part of me, because for so long it's felt like a burden.
Yeah. It definitely. I mean, the Capricorn and the Pisces like elementally go together really well. Yeah. And they, like earth and water, it's great. It's just like a cup to hold it all. But the Capricorn doesn't do vulnerability so much. But the Pisces, that's your power. As you're going,
oh, I need to do that.
And your openness. No, you do it a lot.
I do it,
You're really good at it.
Yeah.
You really meet people.
Yeah.
You extend yourself out, which is very gracious. What's the word I'm looking for?
You can keep going. I can help
you. It's generous.
Generous. That's how I feel.
So that's Pisces. Pisces is ruled by Jupiter, and Jupiter is all about generosity. And Jupiter is a planet about spirituality. And I think at the basis of everything, spiritual, religious, whatever, is about being generous. Because if you're filled with the light of the creative intelligence and energy of whatever moves through everything, you feel like, I don't have anything to lose. I can give you. Mm-hmm. You can have. It's fine. I have.
Yes.
So I can give.
Sonia, you said it's kind of like.
Yeah. Very.
Do you guys balance each other out? Are you like opposites?
We're opposites in a lot of ways. She grew up very differently than I did. She grew up very structured.
She's such a babe. You guys are such babes. Such babes.
She's amazing. I mean, she's so brilliant. And she is the most courageous person. She never backs down from anything. Nothing difficult. She doesn't care. She does the right thing, the generous thing, the scary thing. There's been so many conversations where, like, I should have said something, and she goes first.
That's so hot.
And then I'm like, oh, that's how you do it. Like, she teaches me how to be courageous.
How important is having a partner? I'm single now. How important is having a partner that you can learn from?
I mean, why else would you be in partnership with anybody for anything? I want to learn.
Some people want to be safe, right?
Yeah.
Some people are like, I want to be safe. Some people are like, I want to experience pleasure.
Yeah.
I don't know if everyone wants to grow from their person.
Yeah. And maybe not everybody needs to. Maybe that's not their thing.
Yeah. True.
I do.
I know. Same. From a soul level, I'm like,
this is. We're not growing. We're dying.
Oh, we're dying.
Yeah.
And if we're not growing, I'm going to make us grow.
I'll set something on fire.
Yeah, honestly, I'm going to cause a little drama for growth. That's what I've realized about my soul lately. I've been like, yo, you really are trying to clear a lot of karma. You really are trying to learn by different contrast. And it's just funny. I'm like, wow. Now I like can understand and have that relationship with my soul where I can kind of see it. Mm. You know, I can kind of see like, okay, we're doing this thing where we're trying to like do this or we're going through this thing. Like in this year, there's been stuff. My dad's super sick and there's things going on with my family that just feel weird and cliche almost in a painful way. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
This was on my list of my soul's journey. Mm-hmm. I'm like, damn, that's so interesting. Like,
yeah.
And I'm so grateful to have that relationship with my soul where I can be like co-collaborating on the path and on the journey and have that experience where I'm like, can zoom out from life a little bit.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, we're doing this.
Yeah.
We got grief coming or we got these things. It's just... Yeah, it's been one of the greatest gifts that suffering has given me this year.
Yeah. Just to be in like acceptance of what's happening.
Yeah, totally. Acceptance and even, yeah, just not to be corny, but like, oh, like what I'm so grateful for is now I see change. I have a relationship with change where I don't see it as something that always leads to bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think before probably Saturn return or just earlier in my life, I was like, change is bad.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm like, oh, change is the best because now it leads me closer to the life that I want. Yeah. You know, the relationship that I want, the friendships that I want, like the business relationship that I want. And I feel like people have such a weird relationship with change where they want a different life, but they don't want to have change happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they don't want to do the work and go through the discomfort and go through the suffering of it.
Yes.
You want a different life. What are you willing to give up?
Yeah.
And therefore be deeply uncomfortable about. And then we have to, like, I want to be fair and say, like, that's a skill you develop slowly. Like lifting weights, you don't just go to, like, lift 50 pounds or whatever. You start with 5. Like, you do a little bit at a time, but that's necessary. You do a little bit of what scares you. You do a little bit of what's uncomfortable. Because when you can't hold the discomfort that's coming up for you, you project it onto the world. You project it onto the next best person. However you can. And then they become the problem and all of that starts to happen. And we see that in our world everywhere. Either you project a savior onto somebody, you project, you know, something evil and horrible onto them. Maybe there's some of that, but really it's like, what am I not able to sit with? Why am I fixating on that out there? What do I actually have autonomy and agency over? Where can I be like, oh, I'm uncomfortable and this is why?
How could we look at our chart to understand how we deal with discomfort, how we deal with the shadow, how we deal with those aspects of ourselves?
God, that's a great question.
Got her.
Hey!
Hey! Got her. Flip it. It's time, baby.
Well, there's a couple of different things I would say. It's like I would look for the most difficult thing in the chart.
Say more.
Well, there's really difficult setups. So, you know, squares, oppositions, conjunctions from challenging planets to personal planets. So there's kind of like a hierarchy in a sense, right? Like you've got your sun and your moon, they're the luminaries. And then you've got like Mercury, Venus, Mars, and then like Jupiter and Saturn. Those are the visible planets. And then you've got the outer planets. Saturn and Mars are going to just be the sore spots in your chart for a lot of people. They're also going to be major power points, but they're a double-edged sword usually and for different reasons. If you're born in the daytime, Mars becomes the thing to watch out for. If you're born at night, Saturn becomes the thing to watch out for. They're called the malefics. And so if they're on a different team, there's like day team and night team in traditional astrology. And whatever malefic, whatever planet, Saturn or Mars or the opposite, you can usually go there to be like, okay, that's going to be the hot spot. And then the type of issue, if it's Saturnian, will be about authority and about rigidity and about all that kind of stuff. And then depending on where it is and what it's doing, and you can look at the area of life. If it's about Mars, it's going to be like heat and anger and burning things down and rashes and being inflamed. And you look where it is, what it's doing, who it's talking to.
Mars and Saturn.
Yeah, Mars and Saturn. And then the outer planets will give you a different type of agitation or challenge. If you have a Neptune thing, anything challenging with Neptune, your escapism will be your thing. If you have anything challenging with Uranus, it'll be either you're erratic or your life is super erratic, at least in the beginning, and there's a lot of instability. And then Pluto is going to be just like deep power issues and struggles and all that kind of stuff. Nothing is one-sided, but everything has both sides. So Mars stuff, you learn it, and then you work with it, and then you develop your courage. Saturn stuff, you learn it, you work with it, you develop discipline. You know, and you go through these kind of different things. So I look at the most challenging setup, most challenging planets, what's prominent, what's really talking loudly. And then I'd also look at the eighth house. The eighth house is a place of mental anguish, it's called.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do we all have suffering. Something in the eighth house?
No, we don't all have something in the eighth house or any house, and okay. That's fine. But there is a planet that will rule it. And then you look to see where that planet is, and it'll tell you stories about your mental health and well-being.
Really?
I also look at the 12th house, which is the house of suffering and self-undoing and ghosts in our closets and all of that kind of unconscious stuff.
Would that be like ancestral too?
Where fourth would ancestral house, stuff be? Fourth house stuff. Okay. Yeah, that's okay. The family home origin, or what we call your IC, which is like the darkest point in the chart, which is the family point. And so you look and see if anything is hanging around there, what planets are where it is, what sign it's in. And then, you know, transits to it will just like be like somebody like on your spine, like, you know. Oh. Yeah. I just had a really gnarly transit to my IC and it was.
This year?
Awful. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Internally awful?
No, externally it showed up because the IC is about home and it was one of those things that you're like, oh, I hope that never happens. And then it all happened. And I was like,
did you see it coming? And then
no, I was like, what the fuck is happening? I looked at my chart and I looked at the app and I looked under my transits in the app and I read it and I was like, I texted the director.
You're like,
of
make
content.
Sure there's a push notification for ICs next time.
I texted Eliza, who wrote it, Eliza Robertson, and I was like, and she knew what was going on. I was like, can you fucking believe this? Like, the app drags me all the time. I'll wake up and read my horoscope every day, and I'm like, oh my God, you guys. Because I don't write it.
You're like, chill. Oh, no. Did you used to write it?
I used to write everything, but that was untenable.
I mean, 100%.
Yeah.
But that's
I got to get
like
back to writing.
Really?
Yeah, that's my thing. Like,
do you want to write another book?
I mean, there's definitely another book hanging out.
Totally.
But I also just need to start writing routinely again. Yeah. It's been like a year and a half or 2 years. It's been a while. And I feel so different now that I'm a parent and I have a company and I have all these things I have to do that like I don't know how to write anymore. I feel like I've gone back to the beginning and I'm like, I don't know how to even make a sentence.
Totally.
Like the wheels came off.
Yeah. I mean, I think cellularly as a parent, it's like something that you can't fathom until you do it, that you're different.
Yeah.
Like you're like, oh yeah, I'm going to be a parent. And then you're like, and I feel like that with losing a parent as well, that you cellularly change. Yeah. And it's crazy. Like since you being a mom, what has been surprising about motherhood? Anything where you're like, whoa.
The most surprising thing about motherhood is that it's not a drag. I grew up with so many women that had babies too young, had babies maybe for the wrong reasons, had babies because that's what happened. And I grew up in a tiny town in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains in British Columbia, and a town of 10,000 people. And a lot of us lived outside of that town. So the isolation was like, there was no internet, like you were isolated. Even, you know, phone calls were so expensive. Like there was no, you know, it was like so much to get anywhere. Like for what I grew up in, if your husband took the truck, that was it. You were stuck out of town. How are you going to get groceries? There's no Instacart. There's no Amazon. There's no Uber. There's no nothing. And so the women that I saw that were mothers were so isolated, and just it felt like a burden. All the children, even if they, you know, they love their children and all that kind of stuff, but it was like, it wasn't okay. No one was okay. And the men were not okay. And they were not supporting anything that was happening at home. And so having kids looks like a total drag. And then I waited till I was very old. And then I had the resources and the life that I wanted, and I had the ability to do parenthood in a way that was very supported. And, you know, the baby came, and it's just been like, oh my God, this is a blast. But that's because I'm resourced, and I waited, and I did a gajillion therapy sessions, all the things that I did to get to this point. It, you know, not a mistake. And I'm 48 years old.
Wow.
So, you know, like biologically, I couldn't even have children. So thank God I'm queer.
Yeah.
And my wife is younger than me. And, you know, like she, yes. you know, carried the baby yeah. and gave birth. And so I get to have this experience that is very non-normative for if I was living in the 1950s, I wouldn't be having this experience, or the 1970s or 80s or 90s or whatever. And I even thought I was too old to have kids. And then I went out with a group of friends who were also queer women in their early 50s who had younger partners, and they were talking about them having kids. And I was like, you guys don't think you're too old to be a parent?
They're like, bitch, what are you talking about?
And they're like, are you kidding me? And I left at dinner and I was like, wait a minute, would a man, I was like 46 at the time. I was like, would a man think that he was too old at 46 to have a child? Has that ever even crossed a heterosexual dude? I was like, what the so what, I'm not because patriarchy? Like, mm-hmm. why would I not just because I'm not fertile or whatever the fuck? So it was all of that just like constantly unlocking ourselves from patriarchal, white supremacist, colonial, capitalist stuff. It's so deep in us, and it's been our experience. And also, there might be spaciousness to create something very different for ourselves that people before us couldn't do.
Yeah, it's beautiful to see, even hearing you talk about your experience and seeing a lot of my friends bring children into the world and have a different experience than I think my mom did, or the people that I saw having kids when they were younger. Mm. And I think it's a lot of different things. Obviously, my friends have a lot more resources. Mm-hmm. Like, so there's that experience, but it then shows you the contrast. And I'm saying this as not being a mother, but hoping to be a mother. I've also witnessed just, I'm grateful to have women in my life that are speaking to their experience as mothers as something that's really beautiful, because I feel like a lot of the narrative people is that is the truth of motherhood being hard. But it seems to me, and I might be like this, who knows what my experience is, but it's like almost like the over-indexing on that's hard because you feel alone.
Mm-hmm.
So that so many women are connecting and communing on being alone, which makes sense, totally normal, using social media for that. But I'm also like remembering that there's a child that may eventually see how their mother felt like it was so miserable or it was a burden, or that the experience of motherhood was so traumatic and painful.
Mm.
And I think if I would have known how painful and traumatic my mother's experience raising me was, it probably would have really hurt.
Yeah.
You know, I know she had her own journey with things and definitely probably was, but it's like the access that we have to having information about the entire motherhood process is so interesting.
Mm.
And I just sometimes get scared about how much information people share about the process, either positive or negative, because I'm like, your kids can now see all of that. They can have access to your full experience of motherhood and the information about them that they didn't consent to.
Mm-hmm.
They might not have consented to like you sharing the photos or sharing the video or sharing about how horrific the birth was and how, you know, it's just, it's something that we're all navigating that's like very new.
Yeah. Yeah. I keep everything, as won't be shocking. Very private.
Oh, yeah. What do you mean?
My child will never be online.
Yeah. I know. I was like, curious, even when you're talking about it, I was like, what's she talking about? And your community knows.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, I have never made an announcement because it's not.
Totally.
I lead with the work.
Yes.
I want to always lead with the
work.
Yes. I'm not, my life isn't content. Like I'm happy to talk about things and I want to show up in the world and be of service, but I have to protect myself and my family. And that is how I stay sane and also energetically fortified. So in the ways I talk about it when I want, how I want, and I don't in other ways.
Yeah, I feel like for anyone listening to, you know, that female founder, business owner, whatever type of founder you are, it's like there is that journey that you have to really figure out, because I think a lot of people get leaky because they see their value in sharing a lot, oversharing, in the vulnerability being like the hook. And I'm someone that shares a lot. So it's like, but I always have to check in with myself too, like what feels good. But it's nice to see you as an example of someone that's like leading with the value, leading with the work, staying specific about what matters to you and what should be private and personal to you. Because a lot of people are probably really curious about other aspects of your life, you know what I mean, that you couldn't share. So it's tempting when you have a platform to be like, I'm going to talk about this because they want to know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm so Jewish. I don't know. I'm just like, don't tell, like, you know, Jews don't lead with like what's good. And I'm not, I'm saying, you know, like everyone shares all the vulnerable things, but I'm always like, keep it, like, I'm paranoid. I'm superstitious.
Like, it'll go away.
Yeah, like, live it. And I also want to share what's worked and what's been helpful. Yes. And I want us to grow and thrive together. I want us to use these moments, because it does feel like we're in a very deep crisis as a human population about how we're going to exist on the planet. So
say more. In what way?
Well, in all the ways, I think that we are, the environmental crisis and catastrophe that we are in is just starting to reveal itself. And we're grappling with it in a way that is insufficient. You know, like, we need all of the brilliant minds and all of the creative power moving towards all of the solutions. We need all of our resources.
But they're life coaches.
We need all the resources going towards this.
Yeah.
This is the crisis of our time. And it's, I don't open up the newspaper and not hear a solution in sight. I can read about the problems, but like, where are all the leaders? Why are we not moving towards every possible thing we can do to make sure we have air to breathe, water to drink, land to be on, forests to exist, and not everything to literally be on fire?
It is weird. I think about that with AI too. I'm like, oh, okay, so we can do that, but we can't figure out recycling. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can't figure out how to like reduce plastic bottles.
Yeah, like to not have plastic anymore. Yeah. We've created enough plastic. We never need to create another molecule of plastic.
It's like, it's just, it's kind of eerie for me when I think about it.
Yeah.
Because I'm like.
And then you have a kid and you're like, oh my God. I mean, we were in New York when the smoke rolled in and I just kept looking at her and being like, I'm so sorry.
Oh, sweetie.
And then there was the heat wave and it was just like one thing after another. And you're like, why did I do this? Did I bring a child into
the
world?
A lot of people don't want to have kids because of that.
Of course. Then, like, for very good reason, that was me for a long time. And then it was like I kind of got energetically hit over the head. And we were like, let's have a baby.
No.
She came in like
that. Did you feel your soul? Did you feel her soul?
Yeah, I did. I heard her in the house.
Stop.
Yeah, I could hear her giggling and, like, laughing.
Stop. You knew it was her?
Not necessarily, no. But it was just, I could feel the energy of children in the house.
Wow.
I was like, what is happening?
And Sonia could feel it too?
No, she was a little late to come on board. But then once she gets on board, she's like, now we're doing it. And I was like, hold on. I was just asking.
Yeah, literally. It's so weird about that, like, with babies, because there is a soul frequency that you tap into or tune, and they are like, tap you. They're like, we're ready to come through. Like,
and so as a queer couple, it was as close to an accident as possible, it felt like. We were both like stunned. Like, it just happened so quickly and so magically, and everything that occurred with it was wild. And she got pregnant and we were just like,
stop. And then you're looking at her, you're like, look at us. It's like, and that's what I'm talking about. I was talking about earlier with life. I'm just like, I'm in awe at the journey of life.
Yeah.
Like, you 3 years ago, 4 years ago, you'd be like, no, you know.
No, I had no desire to have children.
And then now you're like, you would have never predicted.
No.
This to be, and even you, when you were in your Saturn return or whatever, and you're like, yo, girl, you're going to be doing this thing. And have you ever had a psychic predict anything that's actually come true?
You know, I moved to LA like everybody else to be an actor. And I remember being in I was in a meditation circle and the person who led it got a psychic to come in. Her name is Corinne Zook. She's now passed away. And she was amazing. And she did a reading for everybody in the circle and she got to meet and she just started laughing. And I was like,
you're like, is this good?
Yeah. She was like, you think you're going to LA for one reason, but you're not. You're going for a totally different reason. And I was livid.
Of course.
I was like, how dare you?
Bitch.
I am going to go and be a very successful actress, blah, 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 blah. And she was just like, no, you're not.
Did she say what it was?
No, she was like, it's going to be great, but it is not at all what you're going for.
I remember.
And I was so mad at her.
Pissed. I remember I was at a psychic and I was with someone hooking up with someone, whatever. She's like, oh, you're going to move to New York. I was like, I fucking hate New York. She's like, you already know your partner. I'm like, I don't know my partner. And both were true. She's like, you're going to be doing this for your work. I was like, no, I'm not. I literally hate that. Everything she said was like true. And I was so pissed. This is miserable.
Yeah.
You suck.
Yeah.
She was like pregnant, drinking Red Bull. I was like, dude, everyone in our audience knows her name because I've talked about her before. What's her name? But honestly, I saw her like three times and then she literally disappeared.
I know. I've had that happen. Yeah.
That's what psychics do.
Yeah.
They're like Rolling Stones. They're like on the go.
Totally.
They like cannot be somewhere for too long.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's taxes or like what. But yeah, she completely disappeared. We like went back to her storefront and she was gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like so weird.
Yeah.
Okay, I need to introduce you to a revolutionary new app, Superhuman. I have been doing these Superhuman activations every single morning for the last 3 weeks. Let me just tell you, I kind of fell off of my game after I had the baby. Most of my time and energy was going to him. Still is, but I have been able to carve out time in the morning before I get into the swing with him. And I've been doing these activations. I do a lot of the shorter ones because I don't have a ton of time. But let me just say, this is new. Like, this is a new type of audio that are super energizing and really specifically designed to transform you into your future self. So I know a lot of us want to manifest things. I know a lot of us are thinking about planning for the future, but a lot of us feel stuck. And so I've just felt like this has unstuck me in just the most beautiful way. So I've been doing a lot of their pep talks. I've been doing some of their writing activations. This morning I did the 3 morning questions. It was a 7-minute, really vibey writing activation that I love. So I had my journal out. Yesterday I did a pep talk about tackling procrastination. There's a part of me that procrastinates quite a bit. So I love this. I love this. There's going to be an activation for you for this moment, for this day. It's incredibly supportive. So we actually interviewed Mimi Bouchard, the founder, not too long ago. Check out that interview. And we have a sample of one of the activations on our feed. So you can check that out as well. It's way easier to implement into your routine and far more effective than any other audio app out there. I've just noticed that I'm doing it much more consistently. So please don't miss out on this crazy deal. They rarely do discounts. On top of the 14-day free trial, get over 60% off your subscription for a limited time only at activation.com/almost30. Literally, there is no risk. If you change your mind and forget to cancel after the trial, you're covered by their money back guarantee. The offer is only available through their website, not on the App Store. So that's activations.com/almost30 for 60% off. It expires soon. I don't know about you, but when my like skin on my body, not just my face, but my body skin is like glowing and supple, I just feel like a freaking $1,000,000. It gives me so much confidence. And so I wanted to give you a little insight into what I'm doing to just get my body skin looking glowy and gorgeous. Osea, you've heard us talk about them for years. They are a brand that we are so loyal to, love deeply. They're clinically proven seaweed-infused skincare. Is just results driven. I've gotten results with every product that I've used from Osea. And I'm really excited for you to try. Oh my gosh, it's gone viral many times over. The Undaria Algae Body Oil. Oh my God. I get compliments all the time. Okay. It is super rich, but not greasy. And it's clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity. It smells unbelievable. Let me just say that. You'll feel like you're in a spa. It visibly firms your skin and makes skin feel more sculpted and toned. I just love the way it makes my legs and arms look. And it's just, it leaves your skin silky and soft and glowy. I love it so much. Sometimes if I'm feeling just extra, I will add the Andaria Algae Body Butter. This is indulgent, buttery, rich texture. If you have any crepey skin anywhere, like I have some crepey skin on my elbows. Oh, it's helped so much. Clinically proven to hydrate for 72 hours. It's awesome. So those are my two like top products right now, but they have a ton of incredible products that I want you to check out. The Andaria Collagen Body Lotion, also one of my faves. All right. So if you want to glow from the inside out, babes, with the clean vegan skin and body care from Osea, you can do so. OseaMalibu.com. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code A30POD. Write that down, A30POD. At OseaMalibu.com, you'll get free samples with every order. They're so amazing about that. And free shipping on orders over $60. So head to OseaMalibu.com and use the code A30POD for 10% off.
To round out this amazing day in conversation, 2024. Let's talk about astrology for 1 minute. What is astrology? Is there anything that people can be aware of or look for?
In 2024. Oh my God. I just did all of the 2024 readings.
Fuck yeah.
I should have this kind of better mapped out in my head in terms of sound bites for it. This year we had a Venus.
I'm ready. She's like, she's talking astrology now.
Yeah, honestly. This year we had a Venus retrograde.
Yes.
So throughout the summer, we had a Venus retrograde. So we had Venus as a planet of art and relationships.
Love.
And it was in Leo, so it was very dramatic. So how many people broke up this summer?
Right on time.
Yeah. How many writers and actors have been on strike all summer? Venus is the planet of union, literally unions, and is art and all the things. So we've had this very dramatic, and then we had like all these women, Venus is, rules women and LGBTQIA folks and gender expansive folks. And we had like women just dominating.
Barbie, Taylor, Beyonce.
Trifecta. And so it was just like this like wow kind of factor about how it all showed up. The end of the year, next year in December, and that's going to be the end. So it's really like 2024, 2025, but Mars is going to retrograde. So I'm like, I definitely have my eye on that because Mars is about hot topics and inflammation and anger and division and all of that kind of stuff.
Election.
So it happens right after the election. And while the election's happening, we're like, you know, I can't remember exactly what, but we're going to be close to the shadow, the pre-retrograde shadow period. Obviously, the news cycle is going to dominate. The election is going to dominate everything. And we have Jupiter moving into Gemini in the spring. And it's going to disperse a lot of things. So it's going to create a lot of different stories. And there's just going to be a lot of chatter and it's going to be really loud and it's going to be hard to pin down, I think, the truth.
I love that you're like saying the astrology, but you have your thoughts about what that's going to be and you're not saying.
And I think it'll be really important for us to focus. What I want for us to go into 2024 with is a fucking plan. Like if you believe that people with uteruses should have the right to choose what to do with their body, and I want us all, myself included, to think about how many decades people fought to upend those rights and to remove them from us. They are dedicated. That side of the aisle, dedicated. They do not relent. They do not give up. They just keep going for what they want. And I want us to be that dedicated to seeing something that is just and fair and centers people's well-being. We have to be that dedicated. So what's our plan? So when I look at the astrology, I'm like, oh God, we really need to focus. Mm-hmm. This is going to be very distracting. And so that's my one of the things. It's like, we've got to focus. We've got to get with and stick with and be in a kind of decisive moment.
So because of all the chatter, because of all the craze, how can we focus in 2024? The Mars retrograde is going to be huge.
Yeah, that's a, again, that's a very end of the year.
Very
so
end of the year.
It's something to keep in mind. And well, I think with the Jupiter in Gemini,
yeah,
it's like, what, honestly, where can you organize? Like, who can you organize with? What's your local situation? What in your district needs you? What do you want to be part of? Get on board as early as possible. Like, how do we build with each other? And, you know, we're in this moment where just everything can feel very divisive and very splayed and very just like everything's in the wind.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a way in which that could increase next year. And so I just think we should get ahead of that and be very focused on what it is we can do in our lives regularly, how we can show up, and how we can be part of a conversation that feels generative.
Mm. Would you say, if we thought about a word to leave people with for 2024, focus?
Yes, please.
Please, God.
Please focus.
Yeah. Everybody.
What do you want? Yeah. And then how do we get there?
Love that. Channy app, Android baby.
Hey.
What up?
We're there.
What up?
Finally.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Thousands of people, 10,000 people on the wait list. And now they have
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's a whole different development game.
We had to build another app.
Yeah.
And we don't outsource our work. We build a company that pays people well and does all the benefits and all the
wow.
things. So we had to wait to build the company, make sure we could economically yeah. keep it viable, keep it going, and develop that, and then develop a whole new app. So it took time. And I know people were angry about it. And I get it. And also,
I want it. Yeah.
If you want something sustainable,
yes,
and you want something that is a product that you can be proud of being a part of, we've got to do it sustainably too. And things aren't fair and all this stuff. But the fact of the matter is 98% of our people were on iPhone. And so we gave to the vast majority of the people that
yeah.
were. And now we were able to build it because of the iPhone people. Yeah, because of the success of the app. So now we're everywhere, and now we can do everything, and now we can update the app and do all
Fuck
the things.
Because
yeah. we couldn't update the app for those years because we had to keep it static so we could build the Android version so that
oh
they could
God.
Match, and now we can do stuff.
Dude.
So it's like, it's like one, you know, you plod.
Yes.
What do we do next?
Yes.
What do we do next?
And now the podcast.
And now, I've always had the Week Ahead podcast.
Okay. You've always had Week Ahead, but there's a new one.
But we're launching a new one.
Okay.
Yeah, we're launching a new one. It's called Down to Earth. And it's me and Thea Anderson and Eliza Robertson. And they are two shining stars on the Channy team. Eliza heads up the content department. And Thea is the chief of staff.
Mm.
Yeah. And they're both just phenomenal astrologers and phenomenal humans. So we just did our first episode and it was so much fun.
I think I saw a clip. You talked about the Beyonce.
Yeah.
It was dope.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is a hole in the market. Where I was like, oh, we can like, yeah, it's just,
yeah.
it really, it's dope. It makes sense. And
yeah,
they seem amazing.
I hope people like it.
I'm so glad you came because last
Thank
time
you so much
we were talking about the book forever ago.
Oh my God.
Forever and many.
That was before the pandemic.
Before the pandemic.
We met in the before
time. We were before time meters.
Wow.
And yeah, I just really respect you. I appreciate what you do. We're such huge fans, our audiences too. And it's just been like a delight. I feel so lucky that I get to do what I do and like sit down with people like you. So thank you.
Thank you.
Me.
It's so good to see you again.
So good to see you. Okay. Love you guys. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much, Channy. We really appreciate you. Thank you for coming on Almost 30. Again, her book is You Were Born for This. It's the Channy app. You can find her on Instagram, and she is an incredible astrologer.
Thank you, Channy. We love you. If you want to learn more about Almost 30, go to almost30.com. We have our membership, courses, and programs, lots of fun stuff on there. We would love to go deeper with you. So we will see you on the next episode. We have episodes every single week.
And I'm Krista Williams. This is Lindsay Simsek. And we are almost 30. Bye-bye.